don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Father, thank you once again for the glorious and the powerful and the grace-filled story of Christmas. Thank you for the blessings that are ours as we take the time to read and meditate on them, not only during Advent season, but any time of the year. Father, more and more empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Help us to recognize that, like the excited wise men, help us to really, by the power of your spirit, to move in the excitement and passion of knowing that Jesus Christ has come into this world. He's made a way for us to be saved, to spend all eternity with you in heaven. Lord, set us on fire afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to be evangelism and discipleship minded all the time, everywhere we go, and cause the fire of that passion to burn brightly on our lives every single day. Thank you for the privilege of being witnesses and vessels like the wise men that you can use to point the world to our Lord and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And how beautiful is it that you decided to show three or however many shepherds there were Jesus' birth. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you decided to reveal your glory to such lowly people and how you decided to reveal your glory to us. Thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. Thank you so much that we get to pray and read scripture and dwell in your presence. And Heavenly Father, I just ask that in these moments, we'd be intentionally present with you. Thank you so much for these moments. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I want to share with you a resource article that's a discipleship tool for you to use for yourself in your own walk with the Lord and the discipling of your family, but also a tool to forward and share with fellow church members, maybe family, extended family members, co-workers on the job, saved or unsaved as well. The title of this article is A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Again, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, it tells us, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. How encouraging, uplifting, and inspiring it is for believers to take time to read, meditate, and think about the beautiful, glorious, and grace-filled narratives we know as the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. What a great tragedy it is that so many children have never in their lifetime read the Christmas narratives or Christmas story in their entirety. Here is a project specifically for grandparents during the Christmas season to impact your grandchildren with. Let each of your grandchildren know that you'd like for them to do the following for you. Call you daily for 8 days during Advent or the month of December, and during each call, read a part of the Christmas story out loud. Here's one possible reading plan you could use with your grandchildren. For children who are eight years old or older, on day one, they can read Matthew chapter 1. The next day, Matthew chapter 2. The next day, Luke 1, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 1, 21 to 37. The next day, Luke 1, 38 to 56. The next day, Luke 1, 57 to 80. The next, Luke 2, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 2, 21 to 38. And then the final day, Luke 2, 39 to 52. For children younger than 8, you might simply have them read shorter passages that you select from these same chapters in Matthew, chapters in Matthew and Luke. Or you may even have them to read the same passage each time they call you as young readers. Let them know that you'll give them $1, $5, or whatever figure that you prayerfully come up with each time they call you and read for you. For many a grandchild that isn't particularly motivated to read, the money prize has a strange way of suddenly causing them to all of a sudden become highly motivated to read for granddad or grandma. Why is a project like this such a fruitful one? Allow me to share with you several reasons why a project like this can have great impact on your grandchildren. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When our children and grandchildren read the Word of God, they're spending time listening and fellowshipping with Jesus. And for many a child, a grandparent doing this kind of project may be the only person in that child's life that's having them to read the Word of God aloud to them. There's nothing in all of the world that will bless and nourish the lives of children more than the powerful Word of God. Grandparents can have one more excuse to call and spend time in conversation with their grandchildren. And after they begin this reading project, I would suggest you begin to mail the prize money the same day that they start reading for you. One way to do this is to see to it that you will have 8 checks made out to your grandchild for 8 different readings. Why I do it this way instead of sending 1 check at the end of the project? Well, let me explain some reasons why. Your grandchild will receive 8 different gifts instead of 1. In receiving each gift or reward, can increase the excitement for the grandchild. Picture your grandchild saying, "Mom, did the mail come yet? Grandmother's sending me some money today for reading about Christmas." Imagine the grandchild opening the envelope and saying, "Here's my money from Granddad. He must think reading about Jesus and Christmas is important to send me money for it." And imagine your grandchild doing this 8 days coming up to Christmas, getting more and more excited about getting their mail the day before. Now, obviously, the great blessing to our grandchildren is not the money. It's having the eternal Word of God planted in his or her heart and mind. Every grandparent can choose to do this project however they want to. They can certainly adjust the details however they wish to. It's entirely up to them. Obviously, there are electronic ways where money can be sent as well, but sometimes mail can increase the excitement. This is simply a fun way to carry out a Christmas discipleship project that can have eternal fruit in the lives of our grandchildren. What do you say, grandparents? Are our grandchildren worth the fruitful and fun effort to do a project such as this? Sure they are. Again, the title of that article is "A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project." If you'd like to get a copy of the article, please email us. We'd be glad to get you a copy. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we'll be glad to mail you the article or any of the other articles that we share, which are discipleship tools for us. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person listening. Thank you for every parent listening, every grandparent. And thank you for others who simply have an interest in discipling children and youth who could participate in this kind of project as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship so that more and more we would see the wisdom of making a project like this a priority. Help us to know that planting your powerful word in the hearts of our children is so important. Help us to be mindful that so many children live in a world where they literally never open a Bible or rarely. And help us to know, Lord, that as we help to plant your powerful word in their hearts, again, it can have eternal fruit in their lives. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Amy Grant with Breath of Heaven. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. It's our privilege to have with us back on the broadcast. He's been with us a few times over a period of a few years. Brother Philip Buttram, he's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. Brother Philip, how are you today?
Praise God. I'm good. I'm well. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Always good to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time now to reintroduce yourself. Many of our listeners may remember your name, but there may be some who are for the first time hearing your name, and also for them, the first time of hearing the name of the ministry, the Gospel Tract Society. So if you'll take time to further introduce yourself and tell us about the work and the mission behind the Gospel Tract Society.
Well, praise God. You introduced me as president of the Gospel Tract Society, and legally I am. But I'm a servant. I am not the head of the ministry. My Heavenly Father is. And I was sharing with someone yesterday, that's one of the reasons I had a problem taking this position 11 years ago, is my forte is the right-hand man. And I said, I cannot really take that leadership because I want to serve somebody. And then I realized that I am serving somebody. I'm serving Jesus Christ. And that allows me to take this position. I prefer the title director because I'm a vessel. And I do what God directs me to do. The ministry, Gospel Tract Society, was formed 100 years ago next month. It's our 100-year anniversary. My father, Lester Buttram, a dear man of God, a humble man of God, was prostrate before the Lord at a little Baptist church in southern Missouri. He was studying to be a missionary overseas. And he said, God spoke to him and said, Lester, I want you to print my word. And Dad said, no, God, you don't understand. I'm going to be a missionary to China. Lester, print my word. No, God, I'm still going to be a missionary. And this went on for some time. And finally, Dad said, well, okay, God, but I don't know anything about it. And he thought the Lord tell him that, okay, I will teach you, but I have two mandates. Number one, do not charge for selling my word. Do not sell my word. Do not charge my word. And number two, do not tie it to teachings of men, to any denomination. So for 100 years, we have been printing God's word in gospel tracts, comic books, activity books, coloring books, and we do not charge for the tracts. We ask for a donation. We are a nonprofit, a 501(c)(3) ministry. And we depend upon the donations and the gifts of God's people to keep us afloat. And for 100 years, God has kept the doors open, and we are printing his words more now than ever before. I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of gospel tracts we have printed over the years. We were talking the other day about the truckloads of papers that have been bought and printed. We cannot calculate what's done. But it's all been done to further the kingdom, to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Our main thrust is salvation. We have messages that are encouragement for all ages. We have poems and songs in printed form. We have a Christmas songbook. So we want to get the word of God out. We're compared to a large ocean-going vessel that carries a cargo of God's word, and we take it to a port, and that port we give it into the hands of the workers in the field who actually sow the seed to their neighbors, to their family, to their coworkers, on the street, you know, door to door witnessing. But God gives us a message, and the message is very timely. It's for today. God's word is alive. It will not come back void. And we are, in my opinion, in troubling times. We're near the end. You look around and look at the papers, listening to news broadcasts. You know, there's wars, there's killings, there's murders, there's starvation, there's floods, there's fires, there's volcanoes. So much is going on that point to the end of time. And it's our responsibility as Christians, as vessels of God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, however we can. And the most, to me, the most non-intrusive way is through giving of gospel tract. You can give a gospel tract to a person and not say anything, but, you know, have a smile on your face. You can have a testimony when you give it. You can mail it. You can, and we'll talk about this later, giving it in Christmas gifts. There's so many ways to minister God's word. And that's what we want to do. We want to get the word of God in these very attractive printed mini sermons into the hands of the workers in the field, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every tract is written and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Some have a legacy history to them. Some are brand new. This year, we put out a Christmas card, which was very touching. And I really felt very led this year not to have a Christmas card of you know, just smiles and cheers and shepherds and wise men. But in this day and age of what's going on around us and in overseas and in Europe, and this card is titled, "In This War-Torn World of Fear, Hatred, and Dismay, There Is Hope, There Is Life, There Is Peace, There Is Jesus." And inside the tract, instead of just a little greeting, we put in 15 reasons why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he become flesh? Mm-hmm. And so I list 15 scriptures that point out why Jesus came, mm-hmm. you know, from salvation to destroy the works of the devil, to be a sword, to give eternal life, to judge the world, to show God's love. And I think that this is what we need to do as Christians, is to show God's love, and giving God's tracts, particularly at Christmas time, is so important.
Would you share, what was the title of that particular tract you just mentioned?
It is our Christmas card.
And it's your Christmas card. Okay.
In this war-torn world of fear, hatred, and dismay. And it's the artwork, I'll just give you a preamp of the artwork. Instead of the regular manger scene, the artwork is the baby Jesus. In the background is the ruined cities of, say, Gaza. Mm. But it has a shining star that there is a hope. Mm. Jesus didn't come to just a perfect world. Jesus didn't come to just the religious people. Jesus came to people that hurt.
That's right.
That are in trial and in problems. I read something this morning in a little podcast. The guy said, you know, salvation, the gospel message is death. Oh, no, the gospel message is life, eternal life. That's God right. helps. I had a situation a couple weeks ago where I was trapped by my machine, literally trapped in pain and bleeding, and I cried out. Nobody could hear me because I was out in the country, but God heard me, and God showed me how to release the machine to get my hand out of the machine. God, Jesus, is there to help people, to give them hope, to give them life, to bring peace into their life. Regardless of the turmoil that they're facing, Jesus is peace.
That's
we have
right.
to walk in the Holy Spirit and listen to his voice, and we will walk in that peace,
Brother
the
Phil,
peace that passes all understanding.
Would you take time now specifically to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them, in that some persons listening may have never in their life ever gotten and given away a gospel tract. Some may have done it before, but slowed down. Others may just want more understanding about how to do it. Would you pray for people to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. And Father, we come to you as vessels, your servants, to minister your word, to know you and to make you known, to glorify your name and fill your kingdom. And Father, I ask that as you have given us these tools, your word, I ask that you would anoint and open the ears and the eyes of your children, Father, of how they can be a minister in their world, in their neighborhood, in their church, in their family. Father, how they can disseminate your precious word that will not die, will not come back void, but be a minister to salvation, be a minister for healing, a minister for deliverance. Father, your children hold the wealth of the kingdom in their hands. I ask you to minister to them through your Holy Spirit. Anoint them, Father. Draw them to you, Father. Give them a passion, Father, for the kingdom of God, a passion for souls. Father, a passion to disseminate your precious word to those that they love, to strangers that they meet, to be led by the Holy Spirit, Father, as you see fit. You're calling all men into you, Father. You're calling us. You're calling strangers. You're calling evil people, Father, into you. Father, use us, your body, the body of Christ, the bride, Father, to present your holy word to people who don't know you, Father. And Father, I ask that you would just bring forth bountiful fruit. Fruit, Father, that will last for eternity. And bless those that give the word out, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the church. Thank you for the privilege we have as individual believers who are part of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, anoint us all afresh today with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. More and more, teach us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to live a lifestyle of sharing the gospel as we go, by giving out tracts and sharing our testimony, talking about answers to prayer and other things. But help us to know, Lord, that this is the most important work in the world, the work you've called your church to. Help us to be faithfully about your business in these regards. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Philip, you know, again, now, of course, the gospel tract, the word is spelled T-R-A-C-T, tract, not tract, T-R-A-C-K, but tract. Define a tract for our listeners.
Well, I think the simplest way to say is a tract is a mini sermon. It can be, you know, comical. It can be very serious. It can be teaching.
In writing, in other words.
Correct. I'm looking at one right now. It's intended for children. You know, it's called The Best Gift. It's a little 8-page, 4-color tract that has graphics and the illustrations in there for kids. But yet it's a message for kids. It's a gospel message. And every one of our gospel tracts has the Word of God in it. Mm-hmm. Most of them, especially if they're salvation intended, will have it at the very least Romans 10:9. With that, planting the word, a person can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And so these different messages, what I'm looking at, I've got probably 18 different titles in front of me. Mm-hmm. The gospel has to compete with big dollar, Dell Comics, Disneyland, you know, all these money-making, beautiful movies and comics and stuff. So we have to be very competitive. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, what we print is eye candy to look at it. You know, you've got just a few seconds to catch someone's eye to eye. Well, if it's an ugly piece of material, okay, they're going to throw it away. But our goal is to catch the eye. Once you catch the eye, you got another few seconds to catch the attention of what you're saying, get the message. So everything that we have in print is slanted for catching the person's eye, catching their attention, and catching their spirit, and leading them to the Lord.
Would you share with our listeners, if they want to order some gospel tracts from the Gospel Tract Society, tell them how they can do that?
It's very easy. The easiest way probably is to go to our webpage, which is just our name, gospeltractsociety.org. If they will Google Gospel Tract, we will come up, Gospel Tract Society. On the webpage, we have probably 700 different listings. You can look at the front page. you can read the material. Mm-hmm. And I found that most people will like one particular tract or a particular title, and that's what they work with. That's great. If that's something that they will present the gospel, man, I'm happy if they use one. But they can order the tract, they can donate, and communicate and have prayer with us.
I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Philip Buttram. He's the director of the Gospel Tract Society. We'll be right back.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
The music of Mercy Me with Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Philip Buttram. He's the director of the ministry, the Gospel Tract Society. And Brother Philip, one more time, if you'll share with the listeners again, for persons that are wanting to order gospel tracts from the Gospel Tract Society, which again are free, you don't charge ever for them. But of course, we encourage people that are able to certainly donate, because of course it's not free to print them. So, but tell our listeners how they can get the tracts and order them from you.
Absolutely. They can actually do it three ways. Most expeditious way is by phone or the webpage. Our web address is gospeltractsociety.org, and our phone number is 816-461-4068. The tracts do cost money. They cost us. We have, like everybody else, we have salary, insurance, electricity, gas, blah, blah, blah. But God, for 100 years, has provided for us. And as long as we're here, until he calls us home, we'll continue the ministry of providing gospel tracts for basically a donation. We have people that order and don't donate, people that order and donate, people that donate and don't order. So God has met the need. He always has, and in the Jesus' name, he always will. And that's one of the beautiful things about the ministry. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. Mm-hmm. The one thing about, we're talking about Christmas, I was thinking about giving something to somebody. I mean, Christmas is such a meaningful time for the family. A lot of times it's all about the gifts and you know, what we're going to eat in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful time to have a stocking stuffer, or put a gospel tract into an age appropriate gospel tract into gifts. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it, you have a gift. They opened it up. The wrapping paper is going to go in the trash of the fireplace. Mm-hmm. The box came in. It's going to be probably thrown out. The packing material, it's going to be thrown out. The gift inside, it will last for a little while until it breaks. Mm-hmm. But a gospel tract will last forever because it's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to order a gospel tract or an activity book for a stocking stuffer. Mm-hmm. You know, we have coloring books, comic books, all kinds of items that can be given as ministering the word of God, and yet as a gift to give even eternal life or hope, and something to do. The activity books, the puzzle books, they're great for kids.
Brother Phil, I was just wanted to mention something in line with what you're sharing. You know, to every single listener, we'd like to encourage you to prayerfully consider the possibility of placing a gospel tract in every single gift you give away. And I tell you, and this relates powerfully to the Christmas story, before a person gives a gift, pray about what to give the person. Because again, many times God will guide you in giving a gift that will be meaningful and that can somewhere or another maybe point them to Christ, the gift itself. But of course, prayerfully putting a gospel track in every single gift as well, because that person may very well get a nice gift but end up getting the greatest gift of Jesus through that gift as they read that gospel tract and may very well get saved or recommit their life to the Lord. But the gospel tract in every single gift is just a wise way to function. And so praying for God's guidance about what to give the person, but also praying about which gospel tract to put in their gift as well is a wise thing for any and every believer to do. But please go ahead with the thought that you had there.
And that's such a beautiful point, because of the tracts that we have, they have different messages. And if a person is going through a trial, or you give a gift to a person that's not saved, doesn't know Jesus Christ, maybe it's someone that's elderly, someone that likes music, or someone that likes poetry, you can select a tract that will minister to them at their level, at their interest point. I'm just looking at one titled "We're So Glad You Came," and it's a very nostalgic story, true story about a family, a very poor family. There were five little girls, and they were broke. You know, they didn't have, you know, money for gifts, much less or food. And the whole premise of their experience was they woke up Christmas morning, you know, with no gifts and no food. And there came a knock on the door about mid-morning, and a neighbor lady brought in groceries for them and had a little gift for each of the girls. I can relate to that personally, because as a child, I can remember there was a time when we did not have food on the table. Mm-hmm. And a dear church lady, dear saint, came to the door with her arms, two big grocery bags full. And I went to the door, and she said, "Is your mom here?" And mom went to the door, and this lady looked and said, "Ethel, you know, I just bought too much at the store today. Can you use this?" Well, praise God, it fed us for a week. So there's a tract for virtually everyone that is going to be at the level. We have, like I say, this best gift. We got one called the Candy Maker. And it's about a baker who was very shy, very timid, didn't know how to spread the gospel, and he felt led to make candy canes representing the purity of Jesus and the Virgin and the blood shed. And so he began to make the candy canes and then wrote a little poem to put with each candy cane he sold. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of stories that you relate to, and that's why I encourage people to go to our webpage and look at these gospel tracts and see what will minister to them and minister to other people that they can include in a gift or a stocking stuffer or in a Christmas card. I have a gentleman in California. He orders Christmas cards. He designs his own card, mm-hmm. but he will order a Christmas track and put in his Christmas cards that he mails out. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different ways to minister through the printed page. And, you know, again, we just have to be open to the Spirit of God to minister his word to somebody else, mm-hmm. and not be afraid of being ashamed or embarrassed or intimidated. Jesus was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed and not intimidated. And if we are ashamed of him here, he might be ashamed of us in heaven. Mm-hmm. So it really behooves us to find a message that we would gladly give somebody, knowing that the Word of God is true. Mm-hmm. It will reach somebody and minister. That we, like you say, we have tracts that are from songs, tracts on, you know, the points of Christmas, how to keep Christ in Christmas, how to keep the fires burning. We have one called "Towards the Night Jesus Came." Beautiful artwork of a lost lamb. Mm-hmm. And the story, it's actually a poem of how the house is ready for Christmas. Everyone's ready. But it was the coming of Jesus, and nobody was ready. And like, mm-hmm. okay, I missed the boat because I was looking at Christmas and not at Jesus. Mm-hmm. And these are all backed by Scripture. And you can't go wrong given the Word of God. So anybody can order, and I encourage them to do it immediately, because we'll get the orders out post haste, if the same day, if not the same day, within 24 hours. I cannot guarantee what the post office will do with this, particularly the Christmas mail. Sometimes they're really good, sometimes not so good.
Mm-hmm.
But we will get the tracks out. We have them in stock.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have it in stock, I'll print it right now and get it out the same day.
Mm-hmm.
We're geared for getting the Word of God into the hands of the workers in the field.
Share with our listeners one more time how to order the tracks.
The easiest way is to go to our webpage, gospeltractsociety.org. You can order a tract. You can read it, order it. You can make a donation, send a prayer request. You can call us, 816-461-6086. I think I may have given the phone number wrong the first time. It kind of caught me off guard. But we are quick to respond. You know, we are vessels poised, ready to distribute the Word of God. We just need you to be the workers in the field, sensitive to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
sow the seed of Jesus Christ.
Share the phone number one more time.
816-461-4086.
Okay, 816-461-4086.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Our time is just about gone, Brother Buttram. Would you pray for the church to be set on fire with a passion to be involved in the sharing of the gospel during the Christmas season, but far beyond as well? Would you pray for the church in this regard?
Oh, amen. The church is so important. Father, Father, right now, I ask you to minister your Holy Spirit afresh and new to the body of Christ, Father. Renew your right spirit within us, Father. Father, there are those that love you so much, but have grown maybe stale, maybe cold, maybe not interested in spreading the word. But Father, I ask that the hour comes closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, that you would just pull your church into you, Father. Give them a passion, desire, longing to serve you, to minister your word, to reach out to those that are lost, to reach out to those that are hungry, those that are hurting, Father. Father, minister your Holy Spirit afresh anew right now to your believers, that we would fill the kingdom and bring glory to your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for the privilege we as your people have of being involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel. Father, set us all on fire fresh with a passion again to do what you've called us to do, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And help us, Lord, like the wise men, to be excited and full of passion to find Christ, to point people to Christ, and to help the world know that Jesus is the answer to everything. Help us to be faithful to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Philip, one more time. Again, tell if persons want to order gospel tracts or be in touch with you, tell them one more time how they can do that.
Gospel Tract, that's T-R-A-C-T, society.org. You can read, order, donate on the webpage.
All right. And that phone number one more time as well.
Area code 816-461-6086.
Okay. 6086. All righty.
Yeah. You're trying to confuse me, brother.
All righty. But thank you so much, Brother Philip, for being with us today, and we appreciate you and the continued work. And we're inviting every single listener, please pray much for the work, the mission, and the ministry of the Gospel Tract Society and Brother Philip and his staff. Your prayers are very much desired. Father, thank you for this ministry. Bless the ministry of the Gospel Tract Society. Indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil, that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we normally do, before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and committed your life to Him, or you sense a need to recommit your heart, would you, from your heart, make that step today? Simply pray this prayer with us now to commit or recommit your heart to the Lord, even right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Please email us to get that literature for you. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared, the title of the article that we shared at the beginning of the broadcast, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Again, please pray much for Brother Philip Buttram and the work, mission, and ministry of the Gospel Tract Society. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.